Combat Sports Talk, a podcast dedicated to UFC, Bellator discussion, the MMA community, and combat sports in general. I'm your host, Ryan Smith, and joining me this week is the man who puts the chi in cheese, KC Onyebuchi.
Yo, real talk? What?
That's right. Hey, it worked out to put the chi in cheese.
Okay. That's super cheesy.
Hey, there you go. You are the, it would take one to know one. Well, hey, by the way, John Keyes is traveling tonight, so we're going to give him a heavy bag next week to respond to all the stuff we're going to talk about, because offline, we had a lot of messages flying back and forth about my reaction to the bear fighting knuckle championships, and he disagrees with me, and so we're just going to have it out.
That's awesome.
All right. So because there weren't any major MMA events and no notable boxing matches, that left Bare Knuckle FC, who had their fifth show this weekend. And that was featuring Artem Lobov, the GOAT, the Russian Hammer, versus...
I refuse to call him the GOAT.
I think that it's more of a kind of a tongue-in-cheek, you know, everybody kind of rolls their eyes when they say it. I don't think anybody legitimately believes that he's a joke. I mean, he's a GOAT. Sorry. That was a Freudian slip there. Versus Jason Knight in a main event in Biloxi, Mississippi. Now, this sport is a brutal exhibition of some of the world's most violent brawlers, but it is growing in popularity. So let's look at some of the key fights in this week's official decision.
The official decision.
This is the official decision. This is where we look at the fights that were this weekend. There was one event that we are going to talk about tonight, and that is Bare Knuckle FC 5, Lobov versus Knight, April 6, 2019, at the Mississippi Coast Coliseum in Biloxi, Mississippi. But before we get into it, I just want to talk about some of the differences between Bare Knuckle FC and what we specifically and typically talk about with regards to MMA. So first of all, Bare Knuckle FC is, by definition, without gloves. So these guys, they have wrapping around their wrists to kind of keep their wrists from breaking when they're throwing their punches, but there are no protection on their knuckles. It's only boxing, so you don't see any of the kicks, any takedowns, no striking, things like that. They do allow some type of, you know, reinforced, you can kind of cup their head.
Yeah, like a Muay Thai grip.
Yeah, but you can't grab it like a double Muay Thai grip. You know how you do like a plum grip where you have both sides of the head? You can do like one and then throwing punches on the other side. So I've seen that, and we'll talk a little bit about that a little bit later. But it's primarily boxing, no elbows. They fight in a circular ring. It's more or less a complete circle. They have 5 2-minute rounds. So in mixed martial arts, it's 3 3-minute rounds, or 3 5-minute rounds, or 5 5-minute rounds if it's a championship or main event in the UFC. If you get knocked down in mixed martial arts, then the other opponent can rush in and try to finish the fight due to strikes and have the referee call it off for a TKO. But in Bare Knuckle FC, as is with boxing, if you get knocked down, you're given 10 seconds to get back up. This is pretty standard in kind of a boxing format. So those are some of the key differences. I'm sure that there are others. If you have some out there, fans, send them to us so that we can get so we can hear what some of the other things that may make boxing or Bare Knuckle FC different than MMA.
Yeah, so I'm quiet on that piece because I know later in the show we're going to talk about like how we feel on that. But I'm glad you laid out the rules there because, I mean, honestly, it's not that popular and not a lot of people know about it. But just think backyard brawling sanctioned.
Yeah. All right. So let's get into some of the key fights. Reggie Barnett defeated Rusty Crowder via unanimous decision. The reason why this is a notable fight is because Reggie Barnett was awarded half of Rusty Crowder's purse because the owner of Bare Knuckle FC felt like Rusty Crowder wasn't aggressive enough. And because he wasn't standing in the middle of the ring throwing bombs, they docked him half his purse.
Yeah, that's one way to get fighters motivated. I mean, it's the opposite of a fight bonus. That's awesome.
Yeah, if you aren't aggressive enough, you risk your purse. For me, I think that's a terrible practice. I think it's awful, because what that basically says is that the expectation is that you will stand in the middle of the ring, not move your head, stay on the center line, and just throw bombs. That right, if you actually box like what Rusty Crowder was doing, I mean, he was basically sticking and moving, and he was trying to be a counterpuncher, and it didn't work out well for him. But at the end of the day, that's the way he fought. He boxed this guy. And if you box somebody, the object is not getting hit.
I mean, that's what it's designed for. Like, one of the things I'll talk about a little bit later is there's a reason there's 5 2-minute rounds. It's designed for pacing. It is all about as much action as you possibly can get in that time. Like, the 5-minute rounds in MMA allow for a little bit slower action, and you can wait a little bit later on in the round. So I 100% get why you would say, well, the whole goal is to be aggressive. If you're not being aggressive, give me my money back.
Yeah, I don't know. One of the things that I find, one of the faults that I have with the sport, and I'm kind of scooping my own position here, is this notion that what you should do is just stand and take punches and deliver punches. I don't understand that. But I come from the Demetrius Mighty Mouse Johnson school of fighting here. The object is to punch and not be punched.
All right. I guess, yeah, that makes sense.
Okay, in the next fight, Christine Ferreira defeated Britton Hart via TKO at 109 in round two due to a doctor's stoppage. So this was a women's bare knuckle fight. And it was for a championship title where the two combatants, one was 1-0 and the other one was 2-0.
So somehow that reaches, I guess you have to have a champion though.
Yeah, I guess you do. And so Christine Ferreira just came in and, you know, the action was intense. She caught Britton Hart and it was just enough to slow her down where she could just pile on bunches of punches, and it just, one of them caught
punches.
One of the punches caught Britton Hart in the eye, cut her eyelid open, and it was just gruesome. So they stopped the fight.
I guess that's theoretically exactly what you want to see out of this type of fight.
In the next fight, Chris Lieben, and you know, Chris Lieben is one of our favorite fighters from, you know, the olden days of the UFC. Back at UFC Ultimate Fighter 1, Chris Lieben was one of those guys, and he defeated Justin Baseman via knockout at 25 seconds in the first round. And this is one of those ones where he came in there throwing punches, caught Baseman in the back of the head, and just had him by the back of the head and just threw uppercuts, those short, quick uppercuts, until the guy couldn't stand anymore and the fight was over. 25 seconds.
Rocked him.
There it is. Then you had in the main event Artem Lobov, who defeated Jason Knight via unanimous decision. This fight,
I still don't see that guy being successful even in bare knuckle.
But
fighting.
He won. He won the fight. Even with his short little baby arms, he won the fight because they stand toe to toe, and you don't have to have a reach whenever you're standing face to face, toe to toe, and you're throwing bombs and nobody's moving their head and no one's trying to get out of the way.
Yeah, like, but it doesn't have to be that way. So I spent a good bit of my Sunday today working one-on-one with a boxing coach today. And it was all about my tendency is I have to fight guys taller than me. Just with my weight, I'm only 5'11 and 3/4. And I end up fighting guys who are usually around 6'2, 6'3. So I'm punching up constantly. And so my tendency is to want to get inside and just be the little guy in the ring. But there is an advantage to knowing how to fight long. And Artem's never going to be able to fight long, even though he's the smaller guy. Like, his arms are just so short that he will always have to get inside, and the tall guy will have the advantage no matter what.
But I go back to the fact that Artem Lobov, he doesn't have to, because the whole way the sport is designed is to stand in there and take the punches. I mean, once you saw, like, I was out there on Twitter, and I was calling Jason Knight the Red Skull, because the dude's face was so cut up and so bloody. His nose was broken. It was almost non-existent. Artem Lobov looked like, you ever saw those composites of like Area 51 and the aliens that they found, you know, or so-called aliens that they found with the round head with the big bulging eyes?
Yep.
That was Artem Lobov and his cheeks. Like, he had such big swollen cheeks from taking all that damage. Both of their faces were cut up. It was just the most macabre thing that I've ever seen. And people are like, that was amazing. No, it wasn't. That's the thing. Let's just... I'm scooping myself. I'm just going to... Look, there you go. Those were the fights that we're going to cover on the Bare Knuckle FC. They call that fight of the night, Artem Lobov. So let's just go on to finding the angles. You ready?
Let's do this.
Let's do this. This is Finding the Angles. This is where we typically look at the headlines that are making waves in the MMA world after the big events. But because Bare Knuckle FC is the event that took place this weekend, then all I have to talk about is Bare Knuckle FC, to be honest. We got some more stuff at the end. But now I'm going to rant. Bare Knuckle FC, is it your jam, KC?
It is not my jam. I really don't see myself ever being a fan of this sport.
Yeah. So for me, I've already expressed how disgusted I am at the sport. And, you know, for me, it's like, what I really want is I want to see different styles of combat. I do want to see, you know, people have an opportunity to fight when they're not going to make the Bellators, the 1FCs, the Professional Fight League, and all those kind of things. We're never going to make it to the UFC, right? And so this gives them a place to go. But I think I start with, when you're docking a fighter's pay for actually boxing in a ring instead of just brawling, then I think that that's problematic. You get what you get. You know, if you expect fighters to do it, then you give them bonuses for being extra aggressive and like the UFC does. You know what I'm saying? Where if you have a great fight, then you get a bonus. If you don't, well, guess what? I'm just not going to book you next time. Fool me once, shame on you, right?
Yeah. So I get that, but it seems weird, because normally this is where you and I are flipped on this, because you're more of a disincentive person, where I'm more incentive focused. That could be wrong. That could be wrong. But I feel like, just in general, that's like my side is more like, hey, let's help people out instead of like taking something away. And in this particular case, I'm actually okay with it. It's for me, it comes down to this notion of a fighter who has nothing, like, he's going to get his money just for showing up. Basically, it's hard to motivate. And even with a 50K, let's say you got a 50K fight bonus, is that really enough to make you do something spectacular? No, you still stick to your game plan and you just hope that it somehow turns out awesome. If you're fighting with your back up against the wall, which these people are put into a truly backyard brawling, fighting for everything you got kind of situation, then that kind of creates the right disincentive to hang back and hope that you've got a game plan to execute. It forces you into survival mode. I don't like it, but I understand it.
Well, I'm completely against it. I mean, we've talked about how much it costs a fighter to just prepare for a fight. Now, I don't know what Bare Knuckle FC fighters do to train for these fights, but we do have an analog with, you know, some of the mixed martial arts fights. And if you are making barely enough money for you, if you win, to be able to cover all of your gym time and all that kind of stuff, taking half of a fighter's purse
be honest, these guys aren't flying in coaches from around the world or doing fight camps that are intense. This is just literally, you could just have some small level of cardio, wake up and just go for it.
Okay, so I'm going to remember that whenever you're complaining about how much the UFC pays its fighters, because the ones that are the on the prelims are the analog to these fighters here at Bare Knuckle.
I wouldn't say that they are the analog.
Yeah, they're the analog. I mean, these fighters aren't. If you say that they're not flying in these world-renowned coaches, these fighters fighting on the prelims can't afford those coaches either.
Right.
So every penny that they make, and they're making pennies on the prelims.
Right.
They need that money for the gym time, for all those other things, because they don't have the sponsorships. They don't have anything like that either. And so when you look at this, this guy lost, so he didn't get a win bonus.
Yeah.
And he didn't get any type of other performance bonuses as well. He got half of the negotiated purse. That is devastating.
I think the fact that you're even in this fight is devastating. Like, well, there is no upside to this entire league. Like, this can't be a great platform for anyone to start a career. It's only where you go after your career is over. You should not be in this league, period. Well, like, this shouldn't exist.
I think we can agree on that. This should not exist. The amount of damage that these guys are taking. Like, if you go out and look at Artem Lobov's face, and you go out and look at Jason Knight's face 24 hours after the fight, it should be a massive deterrent for any fighter.
Goonies.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's saying, hey, you guys, because that's what it is. Like, he looks like the guy from the Goonies. You know, and that should be a massive deterrent. And there are people who are like, well, you know what? You're also a fan of a sport where you can take a knee to the face, you know, and break noses and things like that. Yes, it happens in mixed martial arts, but it doesn't happen at the frequency. If you go and look at every fighter on that card, all of them ended up with multiple lacerations on their face. Lots of them had big swollen hematomas, you cannot sustain this for more than like 3 or 4, maybe 5 fights. Like, if you're taking this kind of damage for 10 fights, you are going to be a statistic. Why would you do this?
Yeah. It's hard to make a cogent argument for why this should exist. So you could pretend that this is going to be like a feeder system into, well, once they get some champions, those champions will eventually go up to the UFC. But that's just never going to happen because those skills don't translate. So it's a really low ceiling that these guys have. And I feel like eventually people will be smart enough to just not do this.
Yeah, I don't know. And one of the things, fortunately for us, that John is in a wonderful position to offer the counterpoint next week. So tune in next week and you'll hear John's counterpoint on why Bare Knuckle FC is a godsend. I'm only paraphrasing. I don't know exactly what he's going to say, but why there is a place in combat sports for Bare Knuckle FC. That is what I'm assuming that he's going to talk about based upon the messages that he sent. Oh, yeah. Today.
He's 100% going to be a fan of this.
Yes, and so I'm interested to hear his point. You know, we may end up taking up the whole show next week with me, because you know I cannot let a perspective go. I can't just let you have I got to have a counterpoint. You know, so.
No, that doesn't sound like the Ryan I know.
So I don't know what's going to happen next week, but I do know that I am stating my position right now is that I cannot watch this. And I will tell you this. When I watched,
I can honestly say, though,
when I watched UFC 1 and I saw that first fight where the French savate fighter knocked the tooth out of the sumo wrestler's mouth, which, incidentally, Artem Lobov knocked a tooth out of Jason Knight's mouth during that fight. So maybe that's my line.
Yeah.
Once you knock teeth out during the fight, then I'm no longer on board. But I didn't. After I watched UFC,
in Bellator too, though.
I'm just saying. Here, let me get this point out, and then you can respond. I watched UFC 1, and yeah. UFC 1 was so brutal to me that I could not watch it. I could not watch the sport because it was just way too brutal. I later went back just because, you know, I do a podcast now, so I did have to come back and see some of the old fights. But in the 90s, I could not watch the sport because it was too brutal. I didn't actually get back into it until 2006 when they had cleaned up the sport. They had added some rules. There were things you couldn't do, the groin shots, the eye gouges, you know, the small digit manipulation. All of those things were added. The 12 to 6s were added, you know, to clean up the sport, to make it more of a sport than what it was, which was just a brawl of just different martial arts styles. And while that may be a pure representation of what fighting is like out on the street, it is not a sport at that point for me. And so what the UFC and other mixed martial arts promotions have done is they've turned what is a violent and brutal activity into a sport. And I think bare knuckle is still in that formation stage where it's like, it's way too brutal. It's way too raw. They need to add some things to it to make it a sport, or else all of their athletes are just going to be CTE studies for grad students in med school.
Yeah. I just don't know that it is designed to ever be to add in these safe measures. I think specifically just the timing. It is 100% designed for fast-paced, just all-in slugfest, which people like. I mean, this is the old UFC that people just were on board. Like, they wanted to see the high volume of activity and hated seeing wrestlers who were winning. So there's a fan base out there, and I get it. Can't wait to hear John's perspective. But for me, I want to see an unrestricted martial art in some sense. Like, the leg kicks matter to me. I think that they play a crucial role in fighting. And even if it was a street fight, like, just so you know, if you run up on me on the street, I will leg kick you because no one expects it. And it's very effective at keeping range. I don't know why it has to just be this all in throwing bombs, and it is just not designed in any way to allow for nuance and growing into a larger sport. It just kind of is what it is. This seems like something that exists at a honky tonk bar versus something that should be televised. I don't know how they got sanctioned.
To be honest, it may be on a reservation. You know, I don't know that it's getting sanctioned, but I don't know that for sure. So don't quote me on it, but I think that that's probably how they're getting sanctioned. Incidentally, after Artem Lobov won his fight, I don't know if you saw the video of Artem Lobov getting into it with Pauly. I can't say his last name. Pauly slapped him and said he was going to kill him in June. Well, basically what it is that the Bare Knuckle Fighting Championship appeared to be setting up a fight between Artem and Pauly June 22nd. And so it was announced in the ring by the president of Bare Knuckle FC that fight would be happening. So what we're going to see now is someone who's basically a brawler like Artem Lobov fight a professional boxer. So, I am interested in seeing this.
Right?
Huh?
It's not really designed for a boxer to do well.
That's why I'm interested in seeing it. I know I just talked for 10 minutes on why I think this is terrible, but they just brought in, I mean, they brought in a professional boxer. Like, this guy was a champion or vied for a championship, and he's going in against Artem Lobov. Like,
so there's a theory here that probably should be expounded upon as well.
This is
why this could get interesting.
Well, the thing is that the sweet science of boxing is all about, you know, not standing in the middle of the ring, not you know, using footwork, using different combinations and angles and things like that, head movement, that is kind of the antithesis of what they want to see in this bare knuckle FC. So you get someone who knows how to place punches, who can throw the power and speed like Paulie, who studies this sport, against someone who's, you know, who's kind of a washed out mixed martial artist who just can stand in there and just take damage. It will be interesting to see what's going to happen when these two fighters get into the circle.
Also very interesting because the two have some level of history, and it's a small wonder that this hasn't blown up even larger, given that one of the biggest stories that we have in all of mixed martial arts is you've got Conor McGregor flying a crew, a whole gang, over to Madison Square Garden to defend Artem Lobov last time he was slapped. And then the question was, will there be a dolly thrown through a bus yet again in defense as Conor comes to defend Artem yet again? Is that even a possibility?
I don't think he will.
He maybe has learned his lesson.
Yeah. That was a pretty expensive dolly throw.
So you've got that. As well as the fact that these two have to have been familiar with each other just from the training camp. So
yep.
Paulie was brought in to Conor McGregor's camp for the Floyd. What was that? Floyd, the Mayweather fight, yep. Right? So there's bad blood between Paulie and McGregor already, and so that extends to Paulie and Artem. And so the tension's flaring, I think. That does make for an interesting storyline. I just don't want to see it in bare knuckle fighting.
All right. Hey, tonight is WrestleMania 35.
Boo.
Taking place in New Jersey right now. And so it's actually going on right now. I've been trying to keep track of all of the results. But one of the results that is of note to us in the combat sports world is Brock Lesnar lost his title.
I saw what's his name, Cormier tweeted out, ha, he got beat up.
Yeah, which I don't get, but in order for Daniel Cormier to get his money fight with Brock Lesnar, Brock Lesnar can't be still in the WWE. That, you know, it's, while I don't know what they use, but whatever they use to get that massive size is illegal from a USADA perspective. And so what it appears is, though, Brock Lesnar has been kind of weaning himself off of it. He's not as big as he was. He actually looks a bit smaller now. And him losing the title means that he doesn't have to defend it or otherwise have any appearances in the future, which means he can focus on training, focus on getting ready for Daniel Cormier, and they can actually have their fight sometime this year. Now, what we do know is that Daniel Cormier is, you know, is injured and nursing some problem areas from a long career in wrestling and mixed martial arts. So what we do see is that this appears to be the lining of the stars, everything putting the ducks in the row to get the fight between Daniel Cormier and Brock Lesnar, which is evident by Brock Lesnar losing at WrestleMania tonight.
Well, we'll see. I doubt it.
So one of the things that you and I were talking about, we were going back and forth about this, and this was Conor versus Khabib in their Twitter war.
I got to prepare myself for this one.
So Conor and Conor, he lost. He tapped out. He got beat by Khabib. Then the brawl. And now it's kind of, we're past that. Everyone's gotten their suspensions and their fines. What?
I got to pause there. There's no way you start at the fight. Come on, you gotta start at all of the stuff that happens.
We have an entire show of us going back and forth on just that. I'm trying to get to the point now. Otherwise, this is going to be a 3-hour long show of us just hashing out all the stuff and all the history between.
You know I'm going to go back to, hold on, well, there's a past. We need context.
There is a past between the two. Conor has said a lot of angry, evil, hurtful things to Khabib. All of that, he was he and his team were punished for with the out of the ring brawl that that happened after what was it, UFC 229. And so I'm trying to get to where we are now. So both of them have been suspended. Conor for 6 months, Khabib for 9 months. So both of them are all, you know, they're out of circulation right now. So the only place that they can really go to have beef is on social media. And so Conor has been picking at Khabib again, trying to get that rematch. And, you know, he's saying a bunch of stuff, but he went a step too far when he posted a photo of Khabib and his wife at the at their wedding. Now, Khabib is a very devout Muslim. He is he's shown videos of him going on the Hajj, all of that kind of stuff. And so, you know, based upon, you know, his religious practices, his wife's face was covered, fully covered, where you could not see her in the wedding. And so what happened was that Conor was making some disparaging remarks about what actually was underneath the veil that that Khabib's wife was wearing, which is extremely, like, you don't talk about a man's wife, but at the same time, you don't talk about, you know, the religious practices that, you know, they are exercising during the wedding as well, which Conor did both. And so Khabib then responds by calling Conor a rapist and posting a picture to Twitter of Conor, you know, very visibly groping a woman that I don't think was his wife.
It was not.
So this has gone back and forth. And so finally, everybody's starting to get uncomfortable with how deep each fighter is cutting. And the UFC finally stepped in and said, we've spoken to both camps about this.
The level of hypocrisy that is evident in this story is just mind-boggling. Because, first of all, there's good evidence that Khabib's response wasn't actually drafted by him, but his one of his management team, Ali, and he's been called out. There was a side beef with Ali, and who's your favorite MMA dude? Shoot. Don't leave me hanging. Don't do me like
who
this.
Is my favorite MMA dude?
Like the announcer. Come on.
Oh, Joe Rogan?
I hate you so much. I hate you so much you left me hanging on that.
No, like you.
Who's my favorite? Ariel
Helwani. Oh, my. You can't just say MMA dude. There's a lot of dudes in MMA that I like. So Ariel Helwani is an MMA journalist. You could, if you got me to journalist, I could have gotten there for you.
All right. So your favorite MMA journalist,
Ariel Helwani?
Ariel Helwani.
Okay.
It's been back and forth with Ali, calling him out for Ali apparently sometimes forgets to switch accounts and he's talking in the wrong voice. So this may not have even been on Khabib, but or Khabib. The problem I have with this is that we're comparing Khabib's response, which is based on actual, like, Conor is being accused of being a racist. Like, that's not, rapist.
Racist? Well, he's that too, but let's.
Hold on. That is also true, because if you listen to his Mayweather press conferences, he said some problematic things. So I'm not even, don't even edit that one out. I'm holding that too. Hey, Conor, you're a racist. So you're also an alleged rapist. So therein lies the problem. So you've got Khabib responding back with facts, whereas Conor is just lobbing out bombs for no reason, because Khabib has been nothing but civil to Conor. Even after Conor announced his retirement, Khabib was like, I wish you all the best. We still have work to do, but that's fine. We can move forward. So to put Khabib and Conor on the same plane is just it feels wrong. So before, Dana had no problem with what was going on. He was like, hey, these are two people who are able to fight it out of the ring, and now we're going to tell them that they can't be mean to each other online. So this is the fruit of Dana White just saying, hey, Conor, we love it when you sell fights this way. Please say ridiculous things online.
Yeah. The problem is that it was clearly escalating and spiraling out of control. And if the UFC didn't put a stop to this, then the realness, you know, one of the taglines for the UFC or the Ultimate Fighter is, "As this is as real as it gets." No, no, it's not. Like, you were dealing with Khabib Nurmagomedov, a Dagestani gangster. He's Russian. You're picking on his religion. You're doing all, you're pushing all of the buttons. And the thing is that there's going to come a point where it gets, you know, to kind of paraphrase, you know, Rob Zombie, it gets more human than human.
Yeah. All
right. And so the UFC had to step in, had to say, guys, you gotta cool it down, because we are getting to a point of no return. And I think that we saw what that looked like at the end of UFC 229, when Khabib came over the fence and went after Dylan Danis and went after the whole bench for Conor. He did not care what was going to happen. And he still really doesn't care about the punishment that he's received. Like, that did not change his perspective and his behavior. And that just goes to show that this is not a person that you want to mess with in this way.
Yeah, I just the UFC didn't stop it before. In fact, Dana White continued to say, "Oh, this was disgusting," and then use all of those comments as part of his promotional material for the Khabib and Conor fight. And I think this will go the same way. And
I think it will too. I mean, but you know, that is the thing too, is that there is a, that is the promotional aspect, that there is no morality when it comes to the UFC promoting fights. They will use all available material to try to create the most salacious story as possible to get people to drop their money to buy pay-per-views to see this fight. So, you know, we go into it knowing that that is the beast that we're dealing with.
Yeah, but as consumers, we've got to be better than this, because we know that most of the quote unquote beef that happens in the UFC is contrived. It's not real. Martial arts is based on mutual respect and learning how to master yourself and your emotions. This is completely contrary to the ethos of martial arts. And for us as consumers to keep buying into this, like, we might as well be watching Keeping Up with the Kardashians, because it is all just drivel.
Well, it would be different if Keeping Up with the Kardashians wasn't one of the hottest shows in America. I mean, it maybe not now, but it was during its run. I mean, it doesn't make it right, but you can't say that there's not a market for it. And there's clearly an appetite for that type of sensationalism. Do what?
There's a market for cocaine, and clearly John Jones is about that market, but that doesn't make it right.
Well, we're not talking about what's right. We're talking about what is. And what is that there is a market where a profitable entity will make money on the disparagement of a fighter's heritage, his religion, his family. And it would be difficult for us to say that, well, you know, the UFC should not do this, because it's even though it makes them tons of money, they've got tons of motivation. I know you would say that he should not do this, but the point I'm making is that this is a formula that has worked for them time and time again. And it's only until now where this is starting to spiral out of their control, because they cannot control what's happening on social media, and so now it's becoming a problem for them. And if this explodes the way that it appears that it's going to, then this actually is a black mark on the UFC. And it starts becoming expected that this is what the UFC is, which that is what they do not want. They want all the controversy. What they don't want is the out of the ring type of stuff that creates bad press.
I don't think you get one without the other, because
I think where you and I differ is this notion of trash talk for the sake of trash talk has merit. And I would say that trash talk only results in escalation. Like, there's not just a, oh, hey, you're talking about my wife, my kids, my family, and we can just like leave it in the ring. Like, no, we have to settle this, like, beyond just like, oh, this was you selling a fight. No, this was an ad hominem. Like, this is a truly personal attack. And that just can't be.
Well, you know, I definitely understand, you know, how you feel about trash talk. But at the same time, you know, if it's just two people who, you know, who mutually respect each other, what you get is you get pay-per-view buys by people who really like the martial arts ethos of the sport. And if you are a profitable entity who is seeking profit at all cost, then that sub-optimizes your earning potential.
I mean, that's the bottom line. Did you like the Showtime Pettis fight?
Do what?
Did you like the Anthony Showtime Pettis versus...
Stephen Wonderboy Thompson.
Yeah, come on. You.
You're asking me, a person who has an MMA podcast, and I've been following MMA for over a decade, if I like that fight. So clearly, I am not drawn to the sport for the controversy. I am drawn to the sport, just like you, for the martial arts ethos. However, if you're looking at a casual fan, probably not.
It was a good enough fight that a casual would be like, holy cow. Off the fence again, Showtime is like, he puts on a show. Like, yes, he doesn't need to trash talk you. Like, that dude's throwing punches out of video games.
Yeah, but the thing is that because of the fact that you have someone like Anthony Pettis who has these highlight Showtime reels, that stands in the place of the trash talking. But there's fighters out there who are interesting fighters who do not have these highlight reels. So what are you going to do? What are you going to do in those cases? Like,
get a good marketing program that can actually market fighters outside of having them talk trash.
The thing is that it's the controversy. It goes down to the most base level, right? The lowest common denominator is people talking trash. And so that is what draws the fans. When there's controversy, when there's a reason to fight other than the sheer sport of it, then what you have is you have these casual fans who come in and who will pay to watch it. I mean, going back to our previous conversation with Bare Knuckle FC, that is why they are able to carve themselves out a niche within the market, because what they are promising is that all of that other strategy and stuff that goes with not getting hit in boxing and in mixed martial arts, they are throwing that out of the window.
Yep. It's the XFL of fighting.
Yeah, and so basically all you're going to get are two guys who are going to stand in the ring and just punch each other. And that is what a casual fan wants to see. So if you want to say what is going to pay, what is it going to make money, it's going to be whatever caters to the lowest common denominator within this market. So that's trash talking. That's brutal, violent fighting. And unfortunately, the UFC is a massive corporation, and they just can't stand on that type of promotion. They will not get sanctioned.
Yeah.
We're talking business decisions here. We're not talking. We're not talking, you know, ethos and morality here. We're talking business decisions, chasing the dollar, and the profit motive of a promotion who actually, the more you get closer to that line of no return, the better the pay-per-view numbers are, especially when you have Conor McGregor in the middle stirring it up.
Well, hey, fight fans, do better. require some level of ethical or moral standpoint from the UFC. And we can't just say, hey, this is all about them making money, because if that was the case, then they should be making a ton of money and doing a lot better job paying their fighters. And honestly, you should fire everyone in the marketing program at UFC, because if the only way for a fighter to make money is they have to market themselves, then your marketing team is a waste.
We will have to save that for another time, because the UFC markets the UFC. The UFC markets their pay-per-view. They don't market fighters. But that let's just put a pin in it, because what I want to get at what you were saying before is the ethos of martial arts is about mutual respect. And I want to talk about one of my favorite female fighters, who I consider to be the greatest of all time in the female MMA world, and that is Chris Cyborg. Now, Chris Cyborg has a show that she's doing. It's called Cyborg Nation, and she is doing Chris Cyborg Mission Destination South Africa. She's on a mission to South Africa. And so the latest episode, or the episode that I saw, she was in South Africa. And it's the funniest thing. It starts off, she's putting on gloves that appear to be too small for her. And the cameraman is trying to get her to say, if the glove don't fit, you must acquit, which is the famous O.J. Simpson trial, Johnny Cochran phrase, which I personally believe that that line is what got him the acquittal.
Okay.
and so she's trying to say it, but you could tell that she doesn't have the frame of reference. She doesn't have the context, so she keeps messing it up, which is hilarious. But what this video shows is Chris Cyborg is in South Africa, and she's working with a very impoverished area of the city to clean up the city. So she's putting these gloves on because she's going to be picking up trash, and she's picking up all kinds of trash in this neighborhood. And you get to follow her. I don't know for how long she was there, but she's picking up garbage. She's, you know, shadow boxing and sparring with the locals. And she gets in trouble because her logo is a sugar skull, right? That says, you know, Chris Cyborg on it. And the locals in South Africa interpreted that as a demonic type thing. So they were all running away from it, and they were getting ready to throw her out of town when one of the elders in the town was like, no, I've seen her on the UFC. She's a UFC fighter. That's her logo. She's not a demon. She doesn't worship the devil, kind of thing. But like, this guy comes in and saves her. They eat pizza with the people, and then they cut to her doing the Ben Askren watermelon challenge. So before we get into the Ben Askren watermelon challenge, I just want to get your reaction. What do you think about Chris Cyborg going to this impoverished town, doing some service work, and not having some type of controversy that she's trying to change her her image for?
No, Chris Cyborg is, to me, the ultimate UFC champion. She is, even beyond what she's doing here, the work that she does with women in general and teaching them about self-defense. For International Women's Day, she donned the hijab and had a translator to just kind of walk through the basics of the 1-2, 1-2-3, 1-2-3-4, and just some basic self-defense for women. And I'm for it. Like, she goes above and beyond to be not just a great fighter. She trains people who have been down and out. The work that she did to help Gabby Garcia revive her career with Ryzen, like, Cyborg's resume outside of the octagon is absolutely amazing in the humanitarian work that she's done. And I'm here for it. And she's still just an absolute killer. Like, you don't want to run up on Cyborg, but she'll pray for you after she beats you. Like, that's classy.
Right. And what was great was you saw her, even after, you know, they had the mishap with the sugar skulls, she you know, that you see her praying with these people and fellowshipping with these people. And it's an amazing thing. So, you know, when you talk about what good there is in the mixed martial arts world, yes, it's a brutal sport. It's a violent sport, but you have these people who really do embody what makes martial arts great. And Chris Cyborg is one of those people. So I, you know, my hat's off to her, you know, much respect to Chris Cyborg. I hope you hear us talking about you someday, and I hope that it, you know, it inspires you to keep going on and inspiring other people to do the same.
I am full on Chris Cyborg fan, even though she couldn't crush the watermelon that she tried so desperately to crush hands.
So the Ben Askren watermelon challenge is basically he took two very large watermelons and he kind of bear hugged them and he squeezed them until they broke. Kind of like, I don't know if you've ever, you're from Texas, so you've eaten pecans, right?
Yeah.
So you know how you can take two pecans and you can hold them and squeeze them together and it'll break one. You can eat the pecans that way.
Yep.
Okay. So he did that with watermelons, except he squeezed them with his arm. So she was trying to do that and she just couldn't do it. So then she tried it with one watermelon and she couldn't do it. So she tried to put it between her legs and squeeze it like, you know, like with scissors style, and she couldn't do that either. And so basically when she finally did cut it open and eat the watermelon, she took the other one and she threw it out. She's like, the only way you can break this watermelon is to do this. And she throws it out of the window while she's still in South Africa, by the way. She throws it out of the window into the courtyard and it just makes this big boom sound, and it's loud sound. It goes, you know, splattering everywhere, and the cops show up,
as they tend to do.
And so she's like, I just threw a watermelon out of the window, that's all I did. And they were like, well, you know, that's illegal. And so she's like, no, don't want to speak illegal. Like, don't want to speak illegal, you know, look, we're cleaning it up. So she's out there in the middle of the night cleaning up watermelon, and you hear her mumbling on her breath. She's like, I didn't know it was illegal to throw a watermelon out of a window in South Africa. These people are serious. You can't joke in South Africa.
You gotta hit them with the Dana White, that's illegal.
That's illegal. So it was a pretty funny scene. So for those of you out there who are listening, if you're interested, go check out Cyborg Nation, see what she's doing in South Africa. It's amazing. And then laugh with us on the Ben Askren Watermelon Challenge. Let's go into this real quick. You know what? Let's go into the fights that are coming up this week. We got a pay-per-view coming up. This is the fight card. This is the fight card. This is where we look at the fights that are coming up on this weekend. UFC 236, Max Holloway versus Dustin Poirier 2. This is April 13th, 2019, State Farm Arena in Atlanta, Georgia, the United States. We have 5 fights on the card, 2 title fights. Let's get through this, and then we're going to make some flash fight picks. Ovince St. Preux, OSP, my fraternity brother.
Your
brother. Versus Nikita Krylov. Alan Joubert versus Dwight Grant. Eric Andrews versus Khalil Roundtree Jr. And then in the co-main event, Israel Adesanya versus Kelvin Gastelum for the interim middleweight title, while the middleweight championship holder, Robert Whittaker, is healing from all of his badness that happened. And then in the main event, Dustin Poirier versus Max Holloway. This is for the lightweight championship. This is while Khabib Nurmagomedov is still on suspension. So we've got 5 fights on the card. You know, I personally think we can make 4 flash fight picks. So here we go. Ovince St. Preux versus Nikita Krylov.
Ooh, you're up first.
I got to go with OSP. You know what? I don't think he's going to win, but he is my fraternity brother, and I will always pick him.
It's hard to pick OSP because every now and again he gets a win that just makes no sense, but he's hard to watch. But I'll give him the win on this one.
All right. Eric Anders versus Khalil Roundtree Jr. Khalil Roundtree coming off of that devastating loss by Johnny Walker, that plum clinch elbow. It was brutal. Eric Anders versus Khalil Roundtree?
You mean Eric Anders, who fights out of Factory X down the street from me?
Dude, I should go for Khalil Roundtree just, just out of spite.
Eric, man, like, real seriously, I've seen this guy putting in the work. There's no way he loses.
Yeah, former Alabama linebacker. I'm gonna go with Eric Anders. He keeps getting better and better. Co-main event: Israel Adesanya versus Kelvin Gastelum. Who you got?
Oh man, I want to say Israel, but I really think that Kelvin has the tools to take down Israel. Here's why: Israel is his style is amazing, but Kelvin has just found a way. Like, from the time he was on The Ultimate Fighter till now, he just finds a way to win. And that's, I think he's got the competitive edge here.
I am going to continue to ride the Israel Adesanya hype train until it comes to a halt. And if Kelvin Gastelum does it, he's as good a guy as any to beat him. But I just don't see him. I don't see this train slowing down. So I have Izzy.
Izzy fighting the Spider. Maybe it threw off his game a little bit because he was really slow in that response to Anderson. Like, if he wants to beat Kelvin, he's got to be a lot more active and push the pace.
I think he will. I think what happened with Anderson Silva is Anderson Silva is just so crafty that he did not want to make a mistake. So what you saw was a very conservative Israel Adesanya. I don't think that's where he's going to be when he's fighting for a title. I think this is going to be a pretty dominant showing. And in the main event, Dustin the Diamond Poirier versus Max Blessed Holloway. Who you got?
I got Dustin. Poirier he's just getting better with age. Like, this dude, I think it's his time. I think he got robbed early on in his career on some shots that would have put him where he wants to be, and he's fighting with a vengeance right now and looking good.
All right, I am going to go with Max Blessed Holloway. I think that this is a great fight for him. I think that he's bringing just a lot of tools to the table. As much as I like Dustin Poirier, I think Dustin got Max Holloway whenever Max was just brand new into the sport. Max has learned a lot. He's matured a lot, and I think he's going to be a double champ, just like some of his predecessors.
Interesting.
All right, that's it. Follow us on social media. On Instagram, I am at Combat Sports Talk,
and I am at Push Pull Pray.
John is at Keys to Victory with an ES. That's on Twitter and on Instagram. You can visit our website. We have a merchandise link where you can get yourself a Combat Sports Talk shirt, and you can find us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Spotify, any of your podcasts, your favorite podcast platforms. Also, we have a section for live events. I do have to tell you that April 13th, I do not yet have a kitchen pass to do a live event with Mr. George G. Money Stallworth. Because April 13th is my 17th wedding anniversary, and so I don't know that my wife is going to let me go out and watch the pay-per-view.
Just
yeah, don't I
like nope.
I am not turning to you for advice on this one.
Hey, let me give you some marital advice real quick.
so no, I don't know yet. I floated the idea to her. She did not respond. So that does not look good. When, like, tonight I said, hey, you know, the April 13th is going to be a real busy day. And she's like, oh, really? And so I went through the day, and then I was ended with, and it's UFC night. And she just looked at me and didn't respond. So I can't say that the odds are looking good that I'm going to get to watch the fight with the crew, with the pay-per-view crew. All right, let's do it. Our theme music is composed by Scott McCurry at ScottDeanCountry.com and KC Onyebuchi produced our lead-ins. I want to thank you for joining us for another edition of Combat Sports Talk. For KC Onyebuchi, I'm Ryan Smith, reminding you to keep your hands up, your chin tucked, and throw bombs.